Marx follows the ever-changing landscape to discuss the latest pressing issues relevant to brand owners in Europe and beyond. During this series, Marx members and special guests share updates, experiences, and opinions. This is IP Law Today. This is Talking Marx.
Welcome to the Talking Marx podcast. I'm James Nurton, the Marx editor. In today's episode, we'll be discussing misleading invoices and payment requests and how to tackle them. Now, I know this is an issue of great concern to IP owners, and I'm delighted to be joined by two guests from EUIPO, Raquel Modesto Damiel, a legal specialist, and Christian Tott, a team leader in the Corporate Legal Affairs Service of EUIPO. They've both been involved in EUIPO's anti-scam activities over recent years and are here to share their experiences with us. So welcome, Raquel and Christian.
Thank you very much for inviting us today. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hi, everyone. I'm also pleased to be here.
We're also very fortunate to be joined by Sarah Bailey, who chairs the Marx Anti-Fraud Task Force. Sarah is a partner at Simmons & Simmons in Paris. So welcome to you too, Sarah.
Thank you, James. I'm delighted to recently have been appointed to run the Marx Anti-Fraud Task Force. And I'm doing that alongside Mario dell'Università from Italy, Hannah Held from Germany, Willem Lepink, who is a member of the Marx executive team from the Netherlands, and Alessandro Romeo, who is our external relations officer at Marx. And obviously the question of these misleading payment requests is crucial for the Marx membership, which is why we set up the task force, and I'm delighted to be here today.
And we're very pleased to have you too, Sarah. And I think we'll talk a little bit more about the task force later on during the podcast. So for now, I want to turn to Raquel and Christian to discuss in a bit more detail some of these issues. And Raquel, I think we're going to start with you and starting with the basics. What is a misleading invoice or payment request?
Well, a misleading invoice or payment request is a seemingly realistic letter or email that demands urgent payment from IP system users for unsolicited or fictitious services. It can also be seemingly offer the user's registration in unofficial or fictitious databases. In other words, misleading invoice fraud typically involves sending fake or unsolicited payment requests that are not connected to any real services, and they are only the purpose to obtain money through the SIPT. Impersonation fraud is also on the rise, James. Recently, many phishing emails have falsely impersonated an IP office. It involves scammers falsely claiming to represent a legitimate person with the sole purpose of deceiving the victim and securing financial gain. You know what, James? Fraud and misappropriation of fees relating to IP rights are crimes that undermine the trust between the IP offices and their users. These scams cause financial losses for users and damage the UIPO's reputation as a credible public authority.
Yeah, and as I think Sarah said, a lot of people will have experienced these scams. Can you give us any examples of them that you've come across?
Of course, James. In addition to traditional paper invoices sent by post, there has been an increase in fraudulent emails. A clear example is what we call the DED scam against national IP system users. In 2023, a series of fraudulent emails were reported by users of the IP system and the national IP offices. These emails came from mailboxes using domain names such as euipoautomail.eu, euipocerts.eu, and similar variants. The emails falsely claimed to be from the deputy executive director of the office and requested an alleged registration fee to be paid to a foreign bank account that does not belong to the office at all. These emails included a fake registration certificate that imitated the office's name, acronym, and logo. I can tell you that, in fact, several emails following a similar scheme were recently reported to the EUIPO.
That's interesting and obviously quite concerning, I guess, both for EUIPO and for users as well. Raquel, when are users particularly exposed to these scams?
Well, users are exposed to scams during the IP protection period, let's say from the publication of the IP application to the renewal of the registration of their IP right. For example, after the publication of the IP application, scammers send misleading invoices requesting additional payment for unrequested services or even private registration. A further vulnerable moment is shortly before the end of the opposition period, you know, when everything is a bit unclear still. In addition, renewal scams can also be sent before the renewal period starts, meaning even before the UIPO sends the official reminder letter. So exposure to scams is related to the publicly accessible IP registers and databases. The moment an individual or legal entity submits an IP application with a competent IP office, like a UIPO, and their name, of course, and address are published, their data becomes available to the criminal actors. And this is the real issue.
And it sounds like these criminal actors are quite sophisticated in terms of monitoring the databases and then making these fraudulent requests.
Indeed.
So, Christian, what are the warning signs that businesses should particularly look out for when it comes to payment requests?
Well, I would say before making any payments related to IP services, it's really essential to carefully verify the authenticity of the documents received to avoid falling victim to scams. The first key point to remember is that the EYPO does not send invoices for IP services that are to be settled at a later date. It is because the office only provides payment receipts of already completed transactions. Second, the office does not communicate by email in trademark and design proceedings. And in any event, please remember, our email addresses end with the eyipo.europa.eu domain. The third thing that I would like to stress is that the EYPO uses only two official bank accounts in Spain. So any request for payment to a different account is a clear indication of fraud.
So people really need to look out, check that it's come from a EYPO email address ending in eyipo.europa.eu and check that it's one of those two bank accounts. And if it's not, then the alarm bells just start ringing.
Yes, these are clear suggestions to avoid scam.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Raquel, are there any other warning signs that might indicate that a payment request is misleading?
Well, in practical terms, we have some suggestions that a user can take. First, we advise checking the legitimacy of the company sending the payment request. The UIPO, as my colleague Christian said, has a dedicated web page which lists companies that have been involved in such scams. Also, with a quick online search, relevant warnings or user experience can be revealed. Next, we suggest reviewing the nature of the services which are being offered to assess whether the services are legitimate and necessary and are not already covered by the protection that the user has with the national IP offices or UIPO. For example, if a user receives an email, we recommend inspecting the email headers, as you said, as the header can reveal discrepancies between the display name and the actual origin address, like to check if it's EYPO that is actually sending the email. Then, verifying requests for urgent payments with short deadlines. This is also a warning sign that might indicate that a payment is misleading. If any person suspects that the content of an email is suspicious, any attachments that are included must not be downloaded, QR codes must not be scanned, and links must not be clicked on. Of course, UIPO and the respective IP offices should be consulted in case of any doubts.
Yeah, so if it looks suspicious, and it should be treated in the same way that you would treat any kind of suspicious email or request.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure many of us have experienced in our own work and probably in personal lives as well, you know, fraudulent requests from banks and so on. So this will be familiar to many people, I expect.
Exactly. The main message is if you don't know where it comes from, don't click on it.
And Christian, is there any impact from generative AI in sending misleading invoices? AI is the big topic of the moment, isn't it? I'm sure it must be having an impact here as elsewhere.
That's true, James. And I must say that Recently, generative AI has caused concerns for the possibilities of new scamming activities. This is because generative AI increases the opportunities for scammers to send fraudulent emails or letters. There are several methods how this tool may be used. Just to name some examples, data mining and victim identification are used to identify and collect the information of IP right holders. This is then used for sending unsolicited and deceptive communications. AI may also be utilized to produce a document in multiple languages, and through this, create really convincing fraudulent invoices or other types of payment requests. There is another interesting example. Machine learning pattern detection can actually help analyze payment patterns that will predict when businesses are most likely to process invoices. This allows scammers to strategically time their attacks for maximum impact.
Right, so they can basically predict when they're going to have most likelihood of success.
It's likely so.
So yeah, so lots of reasons to be concerned, clearly. Raquel, what is EUIPO's role in fighting these kind of misleading invoice scams?
Well, we have taken a leading role, let's say, in combating fraud and misleading invoices. We undertake actions across various areas, including communication, legal measures, IT security, and even collaboration. Primary focus remains on communicating about scams and alerting users. This involves providing detailed information on the UIPO website, utilizing social media. You must have seen some social media Instagram posts that we made, and incorporating warnings into our tools. We also submit criminal legal complaints in several cases. However, it is crucial to emphasize that the user's active participation is essential. IP applicants and owners should even report attempt misleading invoice fraud cases to their national police and respective IP office. This is important because the users are the primary injured parties in this crime, and their criminal reports initiate investigations.
Yeah, so that's a really good point then. So people should report these. They shouldn't just delete them and forget about them.
Exactly.
And Christian, do you collaborate with other stakeholders in this work to combat misleading payment requests?
Indeed, James. We work in collaboration with numerous stakeholders. The EUIPO established the Anti-Scam Network back in 2014 to extend our cooperation. This network brings together representatives from national and regional IP offices, from EU member states, EFTA countries, IP offices of candidate countries, and international offices such as the EPO and WIPO. In addition, it counts with Europol, Eurojust, and several user associations. These representatives signed a joint statement in the area of anti-scam to show their readiness to cooperate. They emphasize the need for a global strategy and persistent action to combat this type of fraud effectively. This joint statement highlights also the importance of information sharing and cooperation among various organizations. Well, the EUIPO serves as a secretariat for coordination and information transmission, and the representatives ensure confidentiality in all information sharing activities, and mutual assistance is provided in legal actions to combat scams.
So, and I guess this is really important, is it? Because all the different stakeholders you mentioned, the different offices, the user groups and so on, they all have experience in this area that they can share. And so that's a key way to tackle the problem, I imagine.
Yes, this is essential. And in this area, information sharing and close cooperation is key.
Yeah. And we'll come on to Sarah in a minute, who can talk a little bit about Mark's perspective on that as a user association. Just before we do that, Raquel, you've mentioned a little bit about how scammers are adapting and changing their strategies. Can you just say a little bit more about what trends you're seeing and how they're adapting?
Of course, throughout the years, there has been an evolution in the tactics that scammers use. Recently, Europol has published its updated report on misleading payment request frauds, crime situation in 2024, so it analyzes the situation last year. This report is an update of the previous strategic reports and highlights the scammers' evolving tactics and trends. The report shows a significant increase in fraudulent activities targeting IP right owners and applicants. The report explains that with €1,500 being the average fee requested by scammers, their estimated profit generated on an early basis is more than €26 million. I repeat, more than €26 million per year. Imagine that. This allows them to improve their logistics, innovate, upgrade, evolve, and invest in advanced technologies like AI, as Christian explained, and virtual private networks. This amount also allows them to create a network of strawman recruits and expand their illegal activity on a worldwide scale. This report can be checked on UIFO's website.
That's a really staggering number, isn't it? The €26 million profit made annually, I think you said.
Exactly.
So, Christian, why is it important to report fraudulent payment requests, and what other actions can users of the IP system take?
IP right owners and applicants can take several measures to protect themselves. In its report, Europol has observed that scammers often use domain names that closely mimic legitimate IP offices but contain slight variations and misspellings. It's often believed that deleting the fraudulent email or just discarding the letter is sufficient. However, we consider that this is incorrect, and we strongly recommend taking immediate action. So, what should users do? Internally, users should notify the relevant departments within their organization, which includes the legal unit or the person responsible for IP rights. It is because they can assess the legal implications and advise on the next steps to take. The accounting or financial unit should also be contacted, especially if they are responsible for processing these payments. If a payment has already been made, they may be able to initiate a cancellation of the wire process or recovery process with the bank. Timing is obviously crucial in these cases. Well, in addition to internal reporting, it's strongly advisable to report the attempted or actual scam externally. This includes reporting to your local or national police, as well as the relevant IP office, whether national, European, or international. Most IP offices offer online reporting tools or a dedicated email address for fraud content. Time is crucial, as I said, and quick reporting helps mitigate the damage, increases the chances of recovering lost funds, and contributes to broader efforts to combat fraud within the IP system. And what else can be done? Additional steps to consider include providing a power of attorney to the EU IPO if he so requests, and report the case to user associations like MAPIS, which centralize the information and share it with the anti-scam network. In general, all users are also advised to take possible safeguards for their companies. To ensure security and accuracy of wire transfers, a coordinated internal procedure involving information sharing between the accountancy and the legal units may be introduced. Beyond that, regular training and awareness-raising activities should also be conducted to keep their own staff informed of potential risks. We consider that technical measures should also be in place to prevent phishing attacks and to detect emails with incorrect or misspelled domain names, a tactic that is usually known as typo squatting. Finally, I'd like to stress that the EU IPO user area is a secure channel through which users can pay or receive notifications from the EU IPO. This is highly recommended.
So there's actually quite a lot of things for users to think about and actions that they can take to help address this problem.
Yes. I try to summarize the most important points in this area.
Yeah, no, that's very useful. And I mean, some of that, I guess you'd say, is sort of common sense and good practice, and some of it is proactive things that people can do. So we talked a little bit about the role of the user associations. Maybe this is a good moment, Sarah, to bring you back in. As I mentioned, Sarah is the chair of the Marks Anti-Fraud Task Force. So Sarah, how do you see the role of user associations such as Marx in dealing with these misleading invoice scams?
Thanks, James. Yeah, I think that associations like Marx play a crucial role in protecting their members from these misleading payment requests. All these associations maintain direct contact with their users. They're able to inform their members about scams and encourage them to report any suspicious communications. And I think as Christian and Raquel have both mentioned, we're seeing now a real uptick in emails being sent as opposed to paper-based invoices, with scammers being able to very easily obtain the functional email addresses for IP right owners just from the, you know, online on the internet. And it's important when you're receiving one of those emails to send the entire email to the user association or to the IP office, because if you only forward it, you will lose important information about the origin of the email. So that's another thing to remember. If you keep the complete message and you send that to the user association, it enables us to take the most appropriate action in relation to that email.
And it's probably worth mentioning, isn't it, that the Anti-Fraud Task Force has a page on the Teams section of the Marx website, I think, where all the members are listed. And I guess if people have questions or would like to find out more information, that would be a good place to start.
Absolutely, yes, definitely. Thanks, James.
So just turning back to you, Raquel, are there any legal precedents on the misleading payment requests area? I think there have been a few cases, haven't there?
Yes, the office has been successful in two criminal cases. In Germany in September 2024, so 1 year ago, the Munich court convicted three individuals of commercial gang frauds for sending misleading payment requests to customers of the EUIPO. Each was sentenced to 1 year and 10 months of imprisonment, suspended for sentence fraud at 3 years probation period. The court also ordered that the money obtained illegally be confiscated and used for compensation to the victims. In Georgia, the Tbilisi City Court between July 2020 and December 2023 dealt with a case involving the entity EIPA. As you see, it's very similar to EUIPO. The accused were found guilty of fraud and money laundering, which caused significant harm to 31 victims. In December 2023, the court approved a plea bargain between the prosecution and the defendants, which included the obligation to compensate the victims. So again, a bit as I said before, always submit your criminal report and always initiate the investigation as a user that has been misled.
Yeah, and these cases demonstrate why that's so important.
Exactly.
Thank you very much, Raquel. We are coming towards the end of the podcast, just towards the end of our time. But before we wrap up, Christian, is there any other information that you'd like to share with users at this point?
Well, to sum up, through the anti-scam network and close cooperation with key stakeholders like Marcus, we are actively working to combat these scams by sharing information, legal actions, and awareness-raising initiatives. All these things were mentioned today in the podcast. In order to help users differentiate between legitimate and fraudulent emails and letters, our office, the EUIPO, has a dedicated page on misleading invoices on its website. It's also featured on many other pages, such as the homepage, which enhances the visibility of the page. It contains detailed information, examples of scam letters and emails, and guidance on how to identify suspicious requests. As part of its commitment to user protection, the EUIPO also added anti-scam warnings to its e-filing system, especially for users filing applications without professional representatives. And alerts are also shared through the EUIPO's official social media channels. Well, if there is any doubt about the legitimacy of a communication, users should not respond or make any payment. This is our main advice. They should contact the EUIPO directly at customercare@euipo.europa.eu for verification and assistance. Prompt reporting helps protect not only the recipient, but also the wider community of IP system users. So please stay alert and act smart against scammers. This is our motto.
Yeah, thank you very much, Christian. That seems like a very powerful message to take away, I think. And I'm just going to repeat that email address in case anyone didn't get it down. So it's customercare, all one word, at euipo.europa.eu. And that is the email address to contact EUIPO if you have any concerns about these kind of scams. So that, I think that does conclude our time today on this episode of Talking Marks. Thank you very much indeed to Raquel, Christiane and Sarah, and to everyone for listening to today's podcast. Don't forget, you can find the full archive of Talking Marks podcasts on the Marks website and also on Spotify. And we do have new episodes being uploaded every few weeks, so look out for another episode soon. But for now, from all of us, thank you very much for listening and goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Join us again soon for another podcast on an important issue for brand owners. To find out more on our website and guest speakers, visit marks.org/podcast.